Good afternoon. Good afternoon, folks. Can we hear everyone online? All okay?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Darrell.
Good morning, and to the area earlier time of 11 a.m. for the area meeting. We'll just go through the agenda now, okay? Item 1, minutes of the meeting held on the 17th of February. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Side chair, just on a point of information.
Yeah.
I have a motion on this week's CLARD being deferred over from last month. But I probably didn't make myself clear. I'm happy enough with the answer that I got last month, so there's no need to look after that motion today.
Okay, no problem. Damien, thanks for that. That was item 7B that was deferred. Okay.
Yeah, so that's fine. I'm fine with the answer. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Damien, for that. Okay, colleagues, just with the permission of the members, I've been asked to move item 6A, the sports, the presentation Pintenue up to item 2A, if that's agreed.
Agreed.
Okay. Questions to the Director of Services in North Central Area? Are they noted?
Noted,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay. Donica, are you going to start first and then I'll let you hand over to Tenyo? Okay.
Good morning, members. Just want to introduce to you Brian McNeice from Teneo, who was presented to you previously with the process we were following in relation to the development of the city's first sports plan. We've gone through a significant process of engagement, stakeholder engagement, research, etc., to get this far where we now have it. We'll be now in the final throes of developing the draft sports plan, which has been presented to all of the area committees this week, and which will then go between this week and next week, and which will then go to the full meeting of council in April. And again, I'm not going to spend long other than we've presented before. The idea of the sports plan is not to create something brand new and different and alter what's there already, but rather to improve on what is a very good process and system that we have in place in relation to sports and recreation in the city. But as always, there are ways to improve and modernise and move with the times, and that's something that this plan, which will be implemented over a 5-year period, will look to do. So I'll allow Brian bring you through a whistle-stop tour of the plan, what's in the plan, and we'll take questions afterwards. Grimaud.
Thank you to everybody for affording us the time again to present to you. When I presented the last time, we were kind of at the earlier stages of the plan. The plan has now evolved into quite a bit of detail, and we're very close to the final stage. I did commit at the last session to come back before we finalise the plan to allow for kind of further input, and that's what this session is about. As you see, the title of the plan, the working title for the plan, is Dublin City More Active, More Often, and the whole concept and idea of this plan is to think about how we can empower Dublin to be, and people within Dublin to be more active more often. I'm conscious that you've got a copy of the slides that I'm going to go through and also a supporting paper. So I'll just very briefly kind of go through the highlights of that and then open it up for any questions. So what I'm going to bring you through is a little bit of background, the purpose, vision, mission, values piece, and then the kind of core pillars of the strategy. So in terms of background, you can see the scale of investment and activity for sport and recreation that we're already committing to. So we're not starting with a blank sheet of paper here. There's a lot of work that goes on and a lot of spend that's committed to this area. And as Janica mentioned, this is the first opportunity to put a strategic plan in place to allow us in a kind of coordinated, planned way to go about setting out what our plans are in relation to this. If I work through what is proposed as the core purpose, vision, mission, and values, so this is very much kind of setting the tone for the plan. So the core purpose of the plan is for Dublin City to be more active more often, and that's a key thread that runs right through the plan. The vision of the plan is deliberately ambitious. It's to for Dublin City to be one of the most active cities in the world. And we're unapologetic about the kind of ambition that goes with that, because it forces us to think a little bit differently and to try things that are innovative as part of the overall strategy. And the core mission, the reason why we exist and how we will deliver on that vision and purpose, is to provide world-class municipal facilities and programs. So there's two elements to that, facilities and programming, in Dublin City that empower all people. In other words, we're enabling people to make positive choices to lead more active, healthy and fulfilling lives. So that's the kind of core mission for DCC, the Sports and Rec Division and others that will be implementing on this plan. And so that's kind of very important in kind of setting the tone, if you like, for the plan. In terms of the values of the plan, we've called out five specific values, and in no order of importance or priority. But this plan can't be delivered in isolation. Working in partnership within DCC and externally with the various different partner organisations will be critical to our ability to be able to deliver on the plan. Thinking innovatively is something that kind of underpins the plan in terms of value. Values, you know, we've deliberately set a very ambitious vision, and so that will demand some out-of-the-box thinking and kind of trying new things. Inclusivity is a critical value under this plan. Is for everybody, for all communities, for all people, irrespective of gender, race, ethnic background, socioeconomic background, where you live in the city. This plan is for everybody, and that's a really important underlying principle of the plan. We're deliberately community and user focused, so everything we've done, we've put the kind of individual communities at the heart of the plan. And sustainability is an important element, and there's two elements to that sustainability. We're talking not just about economic and financial sustainability, but also environmental sustainability. So both of those components of sustainability are important from a values perspective. In terms of the collaborative approach, you can see all the moving parts that are responsible and will be responsible for helping implement this plan. So, as I said, this is not a plan exclusively for the Sports and Recreation Division within DCC. This is a plan that straddles across all elements of DCC, and we need to collaborate across all of those units in order to be successful. And we've engaged with the various internal departments and also some external stakeholders to ensure that the plan aligns to individual plans in some of the other areas within DCC in order to kind of make this work. If we look at how the plan is structured, it's structured around three core pillars. And underneath each of the individual pillars, we've got half a dozen or so focus areas underneath each pillar. There is a number of actions, somewhere between kind of 20 to 35 actions that have been called out underneath each of those three strategic pillars. And then within each of those areas, a number of sub-actions. So we haven't kind of bombarded you with all of the detail of that. Once we finalise the plan, we'll share with you the more detailed actions that sit underneath each of the pillars. But it's important to understand how the plan is structured. So it's structured around infrastructure, providing quality municipal facilities to enable people to be more active more often. We're looking at the kind of programming and activity initiatives that allow that infrastructure to be utilised in order to kind of, again, at a practical level, have people engaging with various different activities and programmes that are being run. And then there's an organisational component in terms of how we structure ourselves in order to deliver on the plan. So for each of those strategic pillar areas, there's, as I said, a number of individual focus areas underneath each, about half a dozen. And then for each of those, there is a range of actions and sub-actions, the detailed kind of pages of the plan, if you like, that call out exactly what it is going to be delivered over the next 5 years, over the term of the plan. Without going into too much detail, in the infrastructure pillar, the six focus areas are around facilities, around leveraging our open spaces, around a pitches strategy, and there's kind of investment in new pitches incorporated into that, utilising our waterways and thinking about how we use those from a sporting and recreation perspective, thinking strategically, and we've developed a strategic planning tool as part of this project that enables us to make strategic decisions on an ongoing basis early in the planning process for new schemes and developments. And then environmental sustainability and energy management are a critical element of the infrastructure pillar. And as I said, underneath each of those six individual focus areas, there's a range and host of actions that are called out within the detail of the plan. On the programming side, then, this is all about the activity and building on existing initiatives that are in place. So we're very deliberately calling out Active Dublin as a key theme and securing active city status for Dublin and adopting Active as a core theme that underpins the programmes and initiatives. So that's a kind of a brand that will and an identity, if you like, that will underpin the plan. We've focused on specific target groups in order to kind of engage with those target groups and communities, in particular those that have a propensity to be less active. And we've got a range of programs that are designed to try and encourage them to make positive decisions about being active. We've looked at the various partnerships that we have both internally within DCC and externally with various bodies, including the governing bodies of sport and some of the kind of health initiatives that straddle the activities within DCC and kind of how we partner up with those bodies in order to deliver and execute on the plan. The last two are really important to call out. At the moment, we don't have detailed data at a Dublin city level. There is national data on physical activity levels. And so what we're suggesting is that we carry out and kind of institute, if you like, a program to allow us to understand data at a detailed level within Dublin City and within each of the individual areas, the five sub-areas within DCC area, and commission research to allow us to understand what's our starting point and track the impact of the plan over time. And then one of the other elements is a very focused marketing communication campaign to highlight the plan, the details that are sitting behind that, and some of the existing activity that's already going on. Very early in this process, we identified the fact that there's brilliant work that's going on, but it isn't amplified in a way that everybody is aware necessarily of it. So that's a big feature of this component of our pillar of the plan, bringing that to light a lot more. And then the third area is around organisation, and again, five organisational focus areas. One is kind of the structure that will support the plan. So when we're developing strategy, once we've developed the strategy, we then design the organisation structure to support that so that there are some recommendations and proposed changes to the organisation structure to support the implementation of the plan. We've also looked at the establishment of cross-functional working groups, and in particular the development of five local sports fora, one in each of the individual areas, in order to execute on the plan at a detailed level. The kind of, this is where the real on-the-ground action will happen. And so we're looking at cross-functional within DCC working groups to look at area by area the implementation of the plan. We've got some additional resources that we're suggesting are put in place to oversee the execution of the plan, in particular the appointment of an individual with responsibility for oversight of the coordination of the implementation of the plan, and then kind of other processes in place in order to kind of focus on how that plan is implemented. And then from an operating model point of view, we're looking at what's the optimum operating model within some of the DCC facilities to increase the return on investment in those facilities and to increase the throughput, if you like, of people through those facilities. So we've got some specific recommendations in relation to that. And then the final area is investing in the continuous development of the staff within the area with responsibility for delivering on the plan. There are some brilliant people within the Sport and Recreation Division doing great work, and we want to ensure that they're supported for their continued development and enabled to be able to support the plan and the kind of some of the new elements of the plan that will come in as part of the overall implementation. We sent through an additional document that gives you a little bit more detail of some of the headline initiatives. Again, I won't call out each of these, but these are some of the specific action areas that are called out underneath the three core strategic pillars. And as I said, in the kind of briefing note that we sent out in advance of this meeting, we've given you a couple of paragraphs on each of those headline initiatives, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions that people might have in relation to any of the detail of those initiatives or any kind of additional items in relation to the plan. Final thing I would say then, just to highlight in terms of delivery structure, obviously DCC Sport and Recreation Division will have ultimate responsibility for the implementation of the plan, but they can't do it alone, and that's why we've kind of designed some of the oversight processes and structures in place. The big thing that I would call out is the appointment of a sports plan implementation officer sitting within the Sport and Recreation Division to implement the plan, and the setup of five local sports fora, which are kind of internal cross-functional working groups to help implement the plan, because the easy thing is developing a strategy and plan. The hard bit is the implementation, and our belief is by putting these kind of structures in place at the outset, we ensure that we're thinking about how to implement the plan right from the off and increasing the likelihood of the success of the plan. There is provision already made for interim reviews of the plan in years 2 and 4, and that will allow us to monitor progress, track the data and the impact that, the plan is having on activity levels, and then reassess in years 2 and 4 as the plans are being implemented. So with that, I'm happy to hand it back to the Chair for any questions that people might have.
Thanks, Brian, and thanks to Tenu and the sports section for the report. I have a couple of questions there. Councillor Cooney, followed by Councillor Heaney.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, thanks for the plan. I'm just wondering, because I had a motion about the playing fields in the North Central area, and, you know, I got some positive response in terms of some pilot facilities in terms of a toilet and a changing room that particularly for girls and young women is essential. It's for all, but I mean particularly essential for them. When are we going to get to the review of the facilities we have, that, you know, the strategic review? What sort of timeline are we looking to have that? Because I think that's essential to see what we have. And, you know, will they also assess not only the quality of the field, but also the facilities around them? Because I think they're essential if we're going to have, you know, uptake of you know, equality in terms of access to those facilities. Also, I think, you know, what we need to consider, like, we do give out small sports grants. I think that's really good to various clubs. Maybe we could look at how they could be extended or how we can best use facilities that are already there within, you know, Dublin City Council. They may not be in our ownership, but how we can sort of increase participation of other members of the public through those existing clubs, through supporting them to bring in people that may not be able to avail of them or may not know of them at the moment. So that sort of resource as well. And also, I feel sometimes the scale, even we've got these wonderful things, but they book up so quickly because they are so popular. So it's not that, you know, that, you know, I think it's great that we'll advertise that there's more of these on, but the thing is, you put them out and they're already booked out, you know, before you've even shared them. We as councillors will share an event and they're saying a yoga event. We had some great events, particularly for women in sport last year, very successful. But,
thanks,
you know, yoga on the beach was booked out very, very quickly. So I just wonder if that... and also, sorry, just one last question. We've been waiting for this sports thing. We very rarely get to get there. On the active transport, I think it's really important that we put back our bicycle training in the schools. We haven't gone out to tender on that. And it's something I've been raising and I've been concerned about. It's with the with safety, not with active travel. But unless we have the training for the children in the schools on the bicycles, which we haven't had, and like Fingal County Council and Dublin South County Council, because we haven't gone out to tender for
service. Okay, Councillor, I've given you enough time. Councillor Heaney, followed by Councillor O'Murray. Okay, thank you.
Gormagat Kerhirlach, agus Gormagat Asoktan Thorish. Thank you very much. When you mention, sorry, first of all, the City Council sports plan, I presume that it's fully costed and we're fully aware of how much the proposals, for example, for a sports plan implementation officer and the five fora, I presume all of that is accounted for in terms of cost and we have budgeted for that and can you tell us how much that is? Where from here I presume you're going to the five local area offices, and then we will pass this at City Council. That's probably where we're at, but could you just confirm that? And while I'm familiar with the sports development officer in our own, in my area, Fergal Scally, I presume maybe our area manager, for example, would be involved in the fora for this area, because a lot of things come up, Cathaoirleach, at area committee meetings that maybe the sports development officer wouldn't be aware of, but the area manager certainly is aware of. And I would like to think that the area manager would be involved in the sports fora, because he or she, in this case it's Mick Carroll, would be aware of areas. For example, in my own area, which is takes in Donnycarney, there are parts of Donnycarney, Cathaoirleach, that kind of fall through the cracks. And I'm thinking of Casino Estate, or Cherrymount Estate, in just there off the Malahide Road. There's issues that I've been discussing with the manager around that. While they have St. Vincent's Football Club next to them, they don't have facilities in their own space, and there's a park opposite them. And I did speak to the presenter of this programme after our Arts SPC, because he made the presentation there. But I just would like us to make sure that apart from all the sports like football, hurling, soccer, rugby, that we make sure that we include sports that kids, minority sports that kids are interested in, like skate parks, like boxing, like basketball, and things that aren't kind of the mainstream sports. Thank you very much, Cathaoirleach.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor O'Murray, followed by Councillor Flanagan.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks to Tenio and to Donacha and his team for the presentation and the work so far. A couple of things, just to pick up on Councillor Heaney's point, because I was going to make a similar point in relation to boxing. So there is demand in Donnycarney for a boxing club. So that's a combination of obviously a facility and people to get involved, volunteers and others to run it. So, I mean, when the rubber hits the road, is this initiative the initiative that we will see over the medium term being used to drive out those requirements and try and in some way match resources to what's needed there? Because that's, if it is, it's very welcome and it's badly needed. There are lots of, Councillor Cooney mentioned St. Anne's Park, huge demand for pitch facilities in St. Anne's Park. Parks are overwhelmed effectively by the demand. And if this is the project that's going to kind of work, you know, flush all that out and deliver a great plan for the future for facilities, that's excellent. That's where really where it should go, I think, is what I would think. And on that point then, I mean, again, Councillor Heaney mentioned money. What is the financial envelope? You must have a sense yourselves, both in terms of the day-to-day, the revenue costs in terms of the people that you're talking about, but also in the back of your minds, what's the capital that we're talking about in terms of capital to build the boxing clubs and the other facilities or refurbish what's needed. I mean, I'd like to hear that you have a figure in the back of your minds on both fronts that would say, okay, if we do this amount of investment in the next 5 years in the city, this will deliver, you know, quite an uplift in terms of facilities and sporting and activity. So, the presentation is great, but that bit is absolutely vital. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Flanagan.
Yeah, thank you, Cathaoirleach. And just to follow on Councillor Murray, as he was saying, yeah, 20 million for current and 20 million for capital budget, it says. So I'm just wondering what new money has been requested or will be requested in order to make this bring this sports capital plan or this sports plan to life, really. Is it possible, just as to the innovative solutions that are going, or proposals that are going to be introduced, can you lay it out, I suppose, the plan over year one, like in the short term, over the first couple of years, like what are we looking to achieve here? What's going to be different in this plan than what has come previously in the past? The issue of pitches has been raised, and that is an issue, the lack of space, lack of facilities for all clubs to be used, and particularly in St. Anne's. And just wondering what we're doing, what work are we doing to identify new spaces, new green spaces where new pitches can be put in. Just another question, I'd like to know, what link up do we have with the Department of Education, with local schools? Now, I'm thinking of new schools who are getting AstroTurf pitches put into their schools, and the school gates are closing at half three or whatever in the afternoon, perhaps, and they should be opened up to the public thereafter. And I know that it is the policy of government to do that. But what are we doing here to make that become a reality, please? Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Brian.
Yeah, I'll try and answer as many of those questions as I can. First of all, in terms of Councillor Cooney, and again, it obviously came up with a few others in relation to playing fields, pitches, etc. We all know that there is an excess of demand relative to supply. In terms of when is the review of pitches incorporated into this, that'll be something that's planned for in year one of the plan. As you see in the kind of supporting note, there is a commitment to conduct that kind of strategic review of supply demand and look at innovative solutions around kind of how we kind of provide for additional pitch facilities. Again, just to jump onto kind of Councillor Flanagan's point in relation to other partners as well. We have an action within that section around engaging with local schools, universities and other agencies that have facilities that aren't fully utilised throughout the week for various different reasons, and investigate kind of partnership models that allow us to increase the supply potentially of pitches in various different areas. And there is also a commitment of additional investment in pitches that has been announced, and that will be rolled out as part of the capital investment programme underpinning the plan. So it's not going to solve the problem completely, but at least it will help address, and it will also help identify kind of where the biggest pinch points are in relation to those elements. As far as the clubs and linking with the clubs is concerned, again, one of the things that we're looking to do is to kind of have an active clubs concept where the sports officers are engaging through the local sports fora with people on the ground in order to kind of understand what activity can be linked as part of the kind of programs and initiatives that are run by DCC, and that will help contribute to more active clubs. On the cycling one, I have fond memories, having grown up in the area and learned how to cycle in the old, and I'm showing my age when I say this, the old cycle school that used to be down where the pitches are.
You as well.
Yes. So we've suggested that there's consideration for identifying a site for a new cycle school, because that links into the active travel initiative. We want to get as many people kind of using kind of cycling as an option for being active. So, Councillor Cooney, hopefully that's something that you'll be supportive of as well. In relation to Councillor Heaney and the financing, and again, this came up with a couple of others. So we're working through the details of the financing. There are some elements of this that won't cost. So, for example, the establishment of the local sports fora doesn't require any additional investment. That's just a mechanism for how we organise ourselves and how we kind of coordinate activity. That doesn't require additional investment. The appointment of an implementation officer is something that's planned for in the budget, associated with resourcing for the Sports and Recreation Division. That is factored in as far as the budget is concerned. And there is an ongoing kind of rolling capital investment budget for new facilities and also for the maintenance and upkeep of existing facilities. One thing people forget is when you build a new facility, you also have to maintain it over time, otherwise it becomes redundant very quickly. And so those figures are incorporated into the existing capital program and will be kind of on an ongoing basis factored into the kind of plans from a financing point of view. So that is something that is kind of catered for. I can't give you a headline figure right now, but those figures kind of are being worked through. In terms of what's different in relation to this plan, going back to Councillor Flanagan's question, I think what's different, first of all, this is the first time that we have a strategic plan. So what we're looking to make sure is that decisions are being made on a strategic basis based on need. The strategic mapping tool that we've implemented will help identify where the most obvious areas of need are in terms of new capital investment and infrastructure. And that will that's a kind of planning tool that will become very useful on an ongoing basis. I think there are a whole host of initiatives that are new the whole active brand, active city status. These are very exciting new initiatives that I think will give real energy to the plan and the work that's already being done. So I think when you see the detail of the plan, I think you'll see that there is a lot of very new and innovative stuff that's incorporated into the plan. Hopefully, I live in and around the kind of St. Anne's, kind of Raheny, Clontarf, Donnycarney area. I'm very familiar with it. You know, if there is a new boxing club that gets established in Donnycarney, that would be great. I don't think DCC can establish clubs, but what they can do is provide support in terms of schemes, activities, programs that will help with those who might be instigating a club. And obviously, again, where the provision of supports for facilities is incorporated into existing DCC facilities, that will be done on a needs basis based on the kind of strategic mapping exercises that we can now do with the tool and resource that we have available. Hopefully that's addressed most of the questions that have been put so far.
Thanks, Brian, for that. Misha? Donegal, are you coming back in?
Thanks, Brian. Just two very quick points, I suppose, just to follow on from what Brian was saying there. In relation to budgeting and going forward, one of the things that I would say is that across Dublin City Council, we have extensive budgets that are spent departmental-wise into sometimes overlapping, sometimes activities that don't have that level of joined-up thinking or the level that they should have. So I would say that even meetings to date we've had in the development of the sports plan, I'll give an example with housing or with community, or with parks, or with other departments that are planning as well, where they have a significant engagement and significant spend in relation to capital and revenue, but it's making the best use of that so that we're providing the strategic and the opportunity for that spend. So I think even making better use of what we spend on a day-to-day basis would have a massive impact in the city in over a five-year period. And I'll say to date, those kind of engagements, even as I mentioned housing, where we've met in relation to developments that are happening over the next 5, 10, 15 years, and getting ourselves at the table from the beginning of those discussions to ensure the 5% that's available is being used in a strategic way, that we can use that to provide and implement what's being put forward as part of a strategic overview of requirements. So I think even at this stage, I think that is going to be a massive difference over the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Nisha.
Very briefly, all right, so based on what Brian says, the strategic assessment, this tool will effectively pop out the requirements around additional facilities that should or should not be considered. Is that, am I correct? Yes. Mm-hmm. And then just in relation to the finances, when this comes to the City Council, the finance bit needs to be included, because that's very important. And, you know, I think Donal's right. It'll be a combination of existing spends that just need to be presented a different way and new spend, capital and revenue. But it needs, when it comes to the council, that needs to be included. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, one additional point that I forgot to reference is the question about where next. So the proposal is that this would be, we're doing all the kind of various area committee sessions over the course of the next few weeks. Proposal is that the plan will be presented to the council in their April meeting. Yeah.
Thanks, Brian. Just in the sense, a couple of comments from myself. Obviously, data, I think, is a big one. I think in general, we don't use the data. We've never used the data, I would say, to be very blunt. And that's just not just in our organisation. I think it's right across the country in general, that we just don't use data and look for the efficiency of it. Social infrastructure in general, as we see more and more housing bills right across the north central area, you know, something for me in particular, when you look at Balmain, Clongriffin, it's like a concrete jungle now, and we're looking at, you know, the lack of social infrastructure, and that's where we really need to look at and really look at the data around trying to utilise and maximise the space there. As we build more and more within the constituency, we need to hold on to them pieces of social infrastructure to ensure that we keep it. Another point just around, I know pitches came up there with some of my colleagues, that in general as well, we need to look at the data around that and making sure we're efficient. There's some clubs in particular that are screaming at me. I've met several clubs in the area over the last 12 months around lack of space, and that's going to be even more bigger over the next 3 to 5 years, I think, and as we build more and more apartment blocks and developments, I think it's going to be a bigger squeeze on them. So how we maximise the efficiency on that. And then obviously following on, I know we're seeking a new AstroTurf in Streamville Park, something I know I had a motion a couple of years ago on in relation to that. I know several councillors have worked hard to try to secure that in the Donaghmede LEA for local clubs. So how we use that, I think we could be using that as a showcase of how we, you know, use it as a communal facility for other clubs, not just one specific club. And I think that's very much, I remember when I was talking to our former chief executive or deputy chief executive Brenda Kenny about this, about, you know, how we utilise it from a social aspect in a communal way. And I think that's very, very important that we get into that sphere, into that mindset, that it's not just for one specific club, it's actually for multiple clubs within a community. And I think that's critical that we get we move into that sphere. Councillor Flanagan, I see your hand raised there.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chair. I think you've covered a lot of the Donaghmede Ward, so I won't need to repeat that again. No, I had a question about the timelines and just what changes we're going to see over the 5 years of this. Is there any way that could be mapped out, like in year one, X amount of changes, Y in year two, year three, et cetera, et cetera? Just that information kind of, I think, would be helpful for people to see. Can that be looked at? And then I think there was a point there during the councillor's discretionary budget about the financing of various sports officers and roles, Chair. I don't know if that needs to be raised at this stage with our guests.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Councillor Brian Dunnigan.
Yeah, so I'll just take a couple of points and pass it over to Danica then. Just in relation to the data point, I think this is a really, really important one. So at a national level, we can tell what the overall national kind of population in terms of activity levels are. It's running at around about 48%. The government target is 60% for people who self-report as being active, which is kind of, you know, exercise of 30 minutes or more 5 times a week. We have no idea what those figures are for Dublin or for the sub-areas within Dublin. So that's one of the reasons why we want to be able to measure cause and effect. So we want to be able to implement the strategy and then determine what's working and what's not working and then tweak the strategy accordingly. So that's part of the reason that we've called out data as a really key element of this strategy. We want to be able to have that data at a kind of detail level, individual area by area, so that we can see what's having an impact and what's not, if we want to have any chance of meeting our objective of being one of the most active cities in the world. And the smart ways in which we can collaborate with the university sector, for example, to commission that research and provide that data. But that's factored into the plan. I agree completely. As it happens, I actually drove through Belmont and Clongriffin yesterday. I agree completely. You know, when we're building new schemes like that, it's critically important that from the outset of the planning cycle that we're thinking about the provision of spaces and recreational facilities within that. Because if we start thinking about that after it's built, it's way too late. And so that's, again, a critical element and why the working in partnership is so important, why that strategic mapping tool is a key element of the overall strategy as well. Just thinking more strategically is a key theme underpinning the plan. And I agree completely, where possible, those new facilities, particularly all-weather facilities, need to be multi-use so that we get maximum utility out of those. And then the final point in relation to Councillor Flanagan's point around timeline, part of the plan will set out what's being implemented at what stage across the five-year cycle of the plan. So you'll be able to see when initiatives are planned in year one, year two, year three, etc. Not everything can be delivered in one go. It'll be planned out over the course of the cycle. So we'll have an overview sort of timeline, if you like, associated with that.
Dominic, anything to add?
I think it was just in relation to the sports development officers. I think, yeah, we have, I think I circulated a note, now apologies for the late circulation of the note, my fault entirely, on last week in relation to the current programme that we have in place. Now, as part of the sports plan, there will be an overall review of the entire programme and how, to be honest with you, the programme is very, very successful. I think most of you will see the kind of activity on the ground that it delivers in a range of sports, particularly in sports where, as and I think Councillor Heaney mentioned this earlier in relation to sports that aren't typical or traditional, shall we say, we have a lot of other sports that they're involved in trying to create that outreach. But we do have, as I mentioned, we have what, we've 17 directly employed sports officers. We have a number of, we've two citywide, we've two inclusion officers as well. We've the health promotion officer, the active cities officer, and then 25 co-funded officers. And it's in the report there. So, as I say, there will be a full review of the programme coming up, particularly, I suppose, in relation to the value we're getting out of the co-funded to ensure that what we're investing and what we're working with the different sporting federations is giving us the best value back. So I think that's something we'd be very clear in relation to an early review with all of the different organisations, but also at a more strategic level as well. And we are getting demands on a regular basis from other sporting organisations to introduce sports development officers. But sometimes one over a city can be quite difficult, depending on the sport, and it can kind of spread things a little bit too thin. So we have to be careful, I suppose, on strategically the direction we take that in as well. But that's where we are at the moment. So there'll be a review in year one.
Just done a further on from Councillor Flanagan. I think he was alluding to just around the boxing officers that from the discretionary budget we year on year have funded, you know, just around how we're going to review that. I think... critically, I think that should be done centrally through a budget, and you know, I think in general, I think in the future it shouldn't be coming from the discretionary. It should be more of a central budget, you know, from headquarters in the sense from Wood Quay, in the sense that I think it is important that it isn't directly out of the, you know, every year we're you know needing the discretionary funding on that as well, just on that point.
Yeah, we're happy to review that and look at that going forward. Absolutely.
Okay, thanks, colleagues. Can we agree that? Noted. Thank you very much. And thanks,
welcome.
Brian and Dunica and your team for your report. Okay, we'll switch back to item 3A, minutes of the TAG meeting. Is Will and Kathleen with us?
Yes.
I see Kathleen Roska is there.
Yeah, it's...
And Will is there as well. Okay. That's for noting. Any questions, colleagues? Councillor Cooney?
Yeah, we were to get a report back on what pedestrian crossings now that they had gone into the central chair, and that just hasn't happened yet. We were told because there's TAG, there's no pedestrian crossings in TAG, there's none at five, none happening. And, you know, I don't know if the one is happening on the Clintarf Road. We were told that that was imminent. I'm just wondering... Are we going to get it from TAG, or who's going to report to us about? And I thought we were going to have that discussion around the whatever pedestrian crossings we were going to have. I do notice there's a potential of a now that the new regulations have come in as well for the zebra crossings or pelican crossings without beacons, if they're not needed within a lower speed limit areas, and that's something we've been looking for, particularly around schools and things like that. Is there any possibility, they're much lower cost, could we get a look at that and how we could review some of our requests for crossings where we weren't previously able to get the zebra crossings, but now that the regulations have changed around that and the laws have changed around that, can we revisit that as well? Thank you. And could we actually just have a whole item on the agenda about pedestrian crossings?
I'll take that offline for you, Councillor Cooney. Councillor Murray.
Yeah, it's the same point, Chair. We had the issue at the time some months ago was that the funding hadn't been finalised, is what we were told from an NTA perspective. I'm assuming that's now well resolved. So we were due to get a presentation on the... as Councillor Cooney says, it seems to be done centrally now, but we were due to get a presentation on North Central as part of that. So that's important that that happens ASAP. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Maria. Kathleen, anything to add on that? Yeah. Managers, we...
Thanks, Chair. there was a commitment given, I think it was at the December, maybe the November area meeting, that when the NTA budget had been finalised, that... the City Centre Projects team would come to us, or come to you, I should say, with the programme for delivery in the North Central area. As it happens, one of the items on the agenda, Alec Dundon is actually speaking to that, it's the proposed cycle lane in Grace Park Road, so hopefully he'll be able to clarify when that meeting can be held. In relation to the issue that Councillor Cooney mentioned, the uncontrolled crossings, Myself and Derek have been liaising with Will Mangan's team in relation to the preparation of a draft programme for 2024, and we'd hope to be able to issue something along those lines in the next week or 10 days. So we're talking to Alec on that. So there are two separate teams carrying out two separate types of projects, if that makes sense.
Councillor Gilliland.
Thanks very much. I have a question about the works going on at the roundabout up at the top of Oscar Traynor Road and the Coolock Interchange. I fought very hard to get pedestrian crossings and properly signalised junction there for pedestrian and cyclist safety. It's going on forever. I just feel that maybe a pole or a couple of poles are put in the ground one month, then one of the traffic lights is put in the next month. And I just want to know, like, you know, it seems to be taking so long to get it done. I know it's a mix of TII, Fingal and ourselves, but I'd really appreciate an update and a timeline on it. It looks really bad that we actually can't put infrastructure in a timely manner instead of a drip drip of bits here and bits there. Thank you.
Andrew.
Yeah, Councillor, I will get in touch with Brendan O'Brien. I'll come back with an update on timelines for that.
Yeah. Can you circle?
I think it's fair, Manager. We're all keen on seeing a bit of progress there. You know, what I would also say is that we have a similar issue in Balmain on the main street that, you know, it's been quite slow to get done. So, you know, you might just write to Brendan in relation to that as well to keep the pressure on that one too. Colleagues, can we note that item? And I'll take on board Councillor Cooney's point and Councillor Murray's point just in relation to the crossings in general. I think it's important we get that at an item at one of the next couple of meetings coming up. Okay, colleagues, that's noted. Item 3A, item 3B for noting, is that noted? Okay, thank you very much. Item 3C, Alec Dundon, I think is online. The protected cycle lane on Grace Park Road for noting. Any questions for that? Councillor Murray, followed by Councillor Heaney and Councillor Cooney.
Yeah, I just want to welcome the proposal and thank Alec and his team for the work on it thus far. I just want to particularly thank the approach that they took to this is that if you've seen the report, Cathaoirleach, that the DC engineers went out with the Merino cycle bus and went with them on the route to the school to actually understand firsthand what the issues are. It is a difficult road to navigate, there's no doubt about it. But that's good consultation and good engagement with local residents. So thank to Alec and his team, and I look forward. I'd like to get a sense, perhaps Alec, from Alec on implementation, when they would hope to move to getting it done. I'd be hopeful it'll be this year so that we'd have it done. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor, just Alec, you might just bank a few questions. We have a couple of hands raised, okay? Councillor Heaney, followed by Councillor Cooney, and then Councillor Rowe.
Yeah, thanks very much for the report. Just wondering, Alec, where are we going with this now? So it's coming here for noting, is it? And
yes.
Then, like, where are we going with this? Can you just tell us what the next step is, Alec? There's work ongoing there at the moment. Is that something to do with this, or is it something separate to that? Also, will the installation of this section of cycleway, if it goes ahead, will it affect parking on the opposite side of the road? Say, I'm thinking about people who are going to Mass in St. Joseph's, on the church there in St. Joseph's on Grace Park Road, and also parking for football matches. So, at certain times, people use that far side of the road for parking. I just wonder, in the two situations I outlined, will it affect parking on the other side of the road? Gramagat Kaherlik.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Cooney, followed by Councillor Rowe.
Thank you, Chair. I'm delighted to this. I'm really thanks, Alex. I've been on that cycle bus myself with Councillor Murray. and others, you know, and I know when they set up, they're a very successful cycle bus. They have a lot of children cycling on it, and it's great to see, you know, they're coming through Merino. And, you know, we could see ourselves how dangerous it was when they got onto the road there. And, you know, and that the plan was adapted. There was a plan to put in a cycle route there, but it didn't, you know, it didn't suit the circumstances of the most vulnerable on the roads, which are the young children out on their bicycles. You know, we've just had a sports thing and after travel to school. Putting it in as part of your lifestyle as opposed to a separate thing that you need to go to sports in is always the best policy, you know, to have children out there cycling school and their parents too. And then most of those parents then head off to work then for the rest of their journey to work on their active on their bicycles as well. So, you know, it's great to see, you know, there's little kiddies and cargo bikes and everything. So I'm just delighted, yeah. And we're going to have, they said there'd be a zebra crossing or a raised pelican crossing or something like that. I just wanted to ask a bit more about that and when we'll see that and when we'll see even more of those crossings. It'll be the first one, I think, in the north central area because we didn't get part of the pilot. So be great to see that happening sooner than later so that we can see them rolled out throughout the north central area. And just well done, Alex. I know we're very quick with the Griffith Avenue one, so I hope you'll be just as quick and as efficient with this one as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Rowe.
Thanks, Chair. And my apologies. I had my hand up just before you finished the last item. So I'll just say this and then one question for Alex. There was a few was involved with advocating for the Coolock interchange, and just to say that they are working outside normal traffic hour, normal working hours, and they're having complaints about noise. So the sooner it gets done, the better. Just to make that point.
We'll take that.
And then also, if we are to have a presentation on pedestrian crossings, perhaps we could get clarification because other councillors will have received correspondence this morning from disability activists and. I am unclear as to what the policy is of Dublin City Council with regard to unsignalised crossings, so perhaps we could have clarification on that. And then finally for Alex, just I've raised this before a few times, but the issue of education for senior pupils on schools along Griffith Avenue and the use of cycle lanes versus the use of the footpath for cycling. And has he had a chance to get anybody to go out to schools and give a talk on this, which was promised sometime last year? Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Alec, over to you.
Morning, Councillors.
Morning.
Well, first of all, I suppose I just start dealing with the questions that, as they came up. I'm glad to see there's a general support for the cycle scheme. The idea would be there would be a protected cycle lane on the east side of the road. And then to the next question, like as to when it's going to be implemented, we'd obviously, it's actually relatively simple. Like it's a really question of line markings and bollards. So we would hope to implement it quite quickly and certainly this year. The question about whether it's going to affect parking on the opposite side of the road, I think it will. The fact of the matter is that what we've done is we've tried to make use of the road. We will be remarking the carriageway so that you have two lanes of traffic, one inbound, one outbound, and you'll also have the cycle lane, the protected cycle lane on the east side of the road. And that's really all you have room for. There is parking, I know, on the far side of the road at the moment. But it's actually, I would say, it's kind of a bit haphazard. It's sort of cars parking half on the footpath, half on the road. The residents all seem to have driveways, so it really it's something that I suppose we'd certainly we wouldn't look to be encouraging there. It's certainly not regulated parking, and I would say that it will be affected. As far as Councillor Cooney's question
sorry,
about the...
Sorry, Alec, can I just come back in? I didn't talk about residents parking. I talked about people in the community, older people driving to mass parking, and I talked about people attending a football match in Talca. I didn't talk about residents, so I'm not encouraging residents who have driveways to park out on the main road.
So sorry, councillor, I wasn't...
If you would address what I said, what I asked about, and not try and change what I asked in your response. Thanks, Alec.
Thanks, councillor.
Sorry, apologies, Councillor Cooney, or Councillor Heaney. I wasn't trying to infer that you were saying that. That was my understanding of what's going on there at the moment. As far as soccer matches in the Talca Road, like that's and the church, like they're certainly a good bit further down than what we're talking about. We're talking about between Church Avenue and Grace Park Terrace. I'm not aware of any church in that area.
Yeah, well, there is a church there. There is a church. So you didn't see the church. You saw other things, but there is a church there. If you went on a Sunday, you'd see that people park there to go to the church.
I would actually ask. If they are parking, are they parking half on the footpath, half on the road? Because I don't see it's actually wide enough to actually park on the road in the section anyway. So I wouldn't say we would be making any provision for that, is to answer your question. But we can discuss it further if you like offline, I suppose. With regard to upgrading of the pedestrian crossings in the area, we are proposing that, at the moment, we're just proposing to, as I say, put the cycle lane in, and if subject to it being successful, which I think it will be, then it may be a question of, do we need to facilitate more crossing points from one side of the road to the other? At the moment, we just have pedestrian crossings, and if we get the numbers we expect, then we'll be looking to upgrade one or both of those pedestrian crossings to toucan crossings. But at the moment, it's just the cycle lane that we're looking at. With regard to Councillor Moreau's questions about unsignalised pedestrian crossings, I think this is quite a new thing for us. I don't think we have actually got a firm policy within the council at the moment on it, and I think it's probably something that we'll end up going to back to the SBC on it with our proposals and how we think that'll be implemented. Now, it's not something I'm directly involved in, but that's my understanding of how we will be addressing it. And with regards to contacting the schools on Griffith Avenue and generally trying to encourage kids to use the cycle tracks as opposed to the footpaths, it's something that it's really down to resources issue, and we really are very short-staffed. And when it comes to the actual communications end of things with getting people out to talk to the schools, but it certainly is on a list of things to do, and I'll bring it up again with the officer who's involved with that.
Thanks, Alex, for that. So Farrell, I see your hand is raised there, and Anisha wants to come back in.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Alec, for this report. No, I'm in agreement with it. And I think you did the right thing by putting the cycle lane over on the east side. And I just wonder, and I know the point you raised about the school traffic, it's coming out when they're going home. They'll be going outbound out of the city, but that will be in the afternoon. But the carriageway will be a bit narrowed at that point, so there will be issues. And there is a new school opening in the next, probably this year, in Rossmini. That's been refurbished and all done up. That's due to open. So there is going to be a lot more bicycle traffic there. Is there a possibility in the long term for some compulsory purchase on the east side of the road, east side of Grace Park Road, in order to widen the carriageway? It's all public land down there along the side. And I do think it would be beneficial for a long-term solution if we could do that and maybe cut the corner out a little bit. And is that something we've considered? And how would we go about that? And could we come back, maybe, if you don't have the answer, come back with a report at a later stage about the possibility of doing that? Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Murray.
Just to make sure we don't miss the point that we spoke about earlier in terms of pedestrian crossings for Dublin North Central and that presentation that is due to come, that was to be done from civic offices to the North Central Area Committee. Just, I think, Alec, we were going to ask Alec, what's the update on that? Thank you.
Alec?
Okay, I hadn't actually forgotten about that. I was going to try to leave that till the end. On the just to Councillor Farrell's question there, I don't honestly know whether that's a practicality or not, but certainly I'll raise it in here and see what if there's something we can do from that point of view. I'm not sure if it is all public land on the east side, but we can see anyway what we can do. And what I think that the big thing with this road, Grace Park, is it's inconsistent with the entire length of it, and even like we're only looking at a small section of it. It's about 800 meters long, but as you get north of Grace Park Terrace and you get south of Church Avenue, we don't have the width anyway, and we'll never have the width there to put in protective facilities. So this is really just the best we can do with what we can get into the area. But I do think it'll be well used, because I've witnessed how the difficulty of cyclists have in the mornings getting down there. So I think we should improve it for them. If you're in agreement, I'll move on then, just update you on what's happening with the pedestrian crossings. I know we did say that we are going to have a meeting to discuss what our options are for the north central area. I suppose at the moment we have had confirmation of what the funding is from the NTA, but what we're doing at the moment is we're just finishing off the works that we started last year, and as soon as we have them out of the way, we're just going to have a meeting internally, that is, to just kind of see what our options are. Where we expect that we'll certainly be able to do at least two crossings per electoral area, that's controlled pedestrian crossings. And so that would be a sort of a minimum, and then we'll see, depending on how we work out with the zebra crossings and whether these uncontrolled crossings go ahead or not, then we'll be able to, like the works programme will obviously change accordingly. But I would hope that I'd be in position to sort of come back to the councillors either later this month or earlier in April with an idea of what exactly we would hope to achieve, and we can discuss it at that point. Possibly we'll have a meeting outside the central area, or outside the north central area, and have a separate meeting just to discuss it. If the councillors want that, we can maybe, the area manager can set that up.
Thanks, Alex. Councillor Cooney, followed by Councillor Heaney, and then Councillor Murray. 30 seconds each, quick.
Yeah, thanks, Alex, for your update. And just, I suppose, I'm just since we have you here, Richmond Road was another one that was on the map and another possibility for an active route. And now we'll be meeting in relation to Talca Park and the possibility of a lease there. I think it'd be very helpful to have yourselves or somebody, because Brendan O'Brien did say he'd look at that again at another point. You know, I know Active Travel Team, it wasn't on their programme, but Brendan did say have a look. We had an issue, you know, with a lot of cars parking on pavement and things like that, and we've put some money from our own budget into those works. But it'd be very useful to have somebody like yourself say at a meeting like that, where we could look at the possibility of, you know, bringing in after travel there, so that there isn't extra cars added to what is a very
thanks
difficult
thanks Councillor Councillor Heaney, followed by Councillor Murray.
Yeah, Alec, just to go back to something that Councillor Farrell mentioned, I don't know whether you're aware of this. If you are, then this doesn't really matter, but in the planning application for Hampton, which is across the road from, you know, the other side of the road from where you're planning to install the cycleway, as part of the planning application stroke condition, I think, or there was a suggestion or a plan to install another lane on Grace Park, and if that had happened, you would have been able to install the cycleway all the way, you know, up as far as Griffith Avenue. I don't know what your response to Councillor Farrell was there. I can't remember. It just struck me when he mentioned it about the public land. But you might look at, if you're interested, at the planning application and the permission granted for the development of Hampton. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Murray.
Yeah, just I welcome the proposal to come and present to the North Central Area. It doesn't have to be in the informal area meeting, but I would, prioritisation is the key bit from councillors' perspective. So I would like that we would have an input so that, you know, we'll be presented with potentially a menu of options, and that the prioritisation decision as to what gets done is made at that meeting. That's very important for us. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Alec.
Um, Just with regard to Richmond Road, certainly I can make myself available to a meeting if that's set up. Yeah, absolutely, I'll go along. Regarding Hampton, Councillor Heaney, I'm not aware of that planning application, and certainly I would be interested in when I'll have a look at that and see if I can figure out what was agreed and what's intended for that. And with regard to Councillor Murray's note on the presentation, regarding whether councillors prioritise what's going to happen or not, I think ultimately, like that, up to now, it's certainly been the traffic department has kind of decided the priorities, because we've got to look at the whole works programme from a point of view across the entire city and how our budget is. And I think that that's quite a radical change to how we've been operating up to now. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
I just wanted to thank you, Cathaoirleach. Like, I wanted to come in and just make some comments, because there has been quite a lot of discussion in relation to the request for pedestrian crossings, and that's a commitment that we've already given. So I give you my commitment that that meeting will be organised, you know, as soon as possible, together with Alec and the Executive Manager in Environment and Transportation and the Area Office, and also to, you know, at that meeting that we will engage, you know, fully with councillors in terms of having an open and transparent process around the selection of pedestrian crossings that we will take forward for implementation in the coming year in the North Central area. Thank you.
Thanks, Manager. Colleagues, is item 3C noted? Noted. Thank you very much. Item 4A, Plan Development Matters. I see John and Denise is with us. Have we? That's for noting as well. Is there questions for item 4A? It's a good sign. Is that agreed, colleagues? Or noted, I should say. Noted. Okay. Thank you very much. And John, Denise, thanks for being here. Item 5A, for noting, discretionary budget for noting. Colleagues, I've gone through this report. I'm happy with it. Are we agreed to note that?
No, I'd like to comment on it, please, Chair.
Councillor Cooney's hand is raised and Councillor O'Farrell's hand is raised. 30 seconds. I'm only allowing this because it was
yeah,
debated.
I'm happy with that report. I just wanted to know is when we will get an update on the works for the last year that haven't been completed. You know, I emailed, but I still haven't got any update on Wilton Amara.
The report that went out last week, just in relation to that, you just look at Fiona's email. Councillor O'Farrell, followed by Councillor Rowe.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, I'm looking at the report, and there's several of my items that are just not listed. And if I've said it once, I've said it 20 times. I just want my items listed. There's nothing down for the Merino playing pitches. It's not mentioned there. It's not mentioned about the First Tuesday Club. It's not mentioned about the Clontarf Residence Walking Trail. It's not mentioned about the Bullwall Sea Swimming Enhancements. I don't know how many times I have to say I'd like my stuff listed. I may not be here next year. And the groups, how do they know that they're going to get there? It's usually what happens is the groups themselves get on. I get in touch with them and they'll get on and they'll deal with people inside and eventually they'll get. But if it's not listed on the public documents, how will they know? And people can change. We've had a history in this area of area managers changing and people change. And how will they know? And it's to be listed in the public documents and it's not listed. And as I said, I must have said it about 20 times.
Okay, thanks, Damien. I'll take that on board. Councillor Rowe.
Yeah, while it's an improvement on what we had before, which was basically nothing, it's not a financial statement, and that's what I'm looking for, and I presume that's what Councillor O'Farrell is looking for, is that at the end of the year, it's itemised what the items for each LEA were spent on and what's the carry forward on what items weren't covered or monies that weren't spent or if they were diverted to others. So I will be pursuing this. I'm not going to delay longer today. Thank you.
Managers.
Thanks, Chair. Councillor O'Farrell, just very briefly, most of the items that you referenced there in the last couple of minutes are actually either been accounted for and delivered from last year's programme or have been delivered by one of the, I presume, the Parks Department for a number of them as well. if you want to talk to me separately outside the meeting, I'll run you through each of your requests as we've done at the in committee meetings, I'll call them, back in January. But the reason some items are not listed here is because they've been delivered by other departments or either been like that been delivered from last year's programme. So if you want to give me a buzz directly on it, I'll run you through exactly again which items are been delivered by who. But we didn't include them twice, in other words, because then it would be a case of double bookkeeping. I don't know if that makes sense to Councillor
Farrell. Just manager on that, if we can just get an email to Councillor Farrell, just with all his points, because I think it's valid. If a councillor raises this, he should know where
Sorry, Chair. Making
sure that we have all these points articulated of where it's coming out of and that every single point that he has raised is
Just on one issue, and I want to be clear. The football pitch, the playing surface in Marina AFC, this is new monies. This has nothing to do with last year. This is new monies. This is Parks would like to have another go at the pitch. And this is new monies. We've had last year's, and this is new monies. So it's nothing to do with last year. This is this year.
Manager.
Can I just... I mean, Parks are, as I understand it, Parks are planning on doing it, but they're coming from their own budget for this year. You know, the discussion has been had at, you know, so it is happening. It's just, this is purely discretionary. Sure. I mean, as I understand it. Thank you.
Manager.
Chair.
Councillor Coon, 30 seconds,
A point of information, actually, that on Modern Gov, we can't actually open the documents, so I have to follow a link that they sent us for the other thing. And you could look up other area meetings. I did email about that, but it still hasn't. It just says the PDF, it's not available or something. So it means we can't, members of the public, if they were going on the web, I don't know why that isn't up on the ModGov. It must be some technical issue. So it's just a point of information that it's not there, you know. So
thanks, Councillor Cooney. I'll take that offline, with the managers. Managers.
Yeah, just thank you, Chair. Councillor O'Farrell, the AFC works at the pitch. There was works carried out last year on the pitch that Parks paid from their own budget, but there was provision in the discretionary budget last year, in 2023, for works at the pitch. So that money has been carried forward to this year. So they will be getting additional works at the pitch down at Marino Football Club, but they'll actually be funded from the 2023 discretionary budget. That's why it's not included in the 2024 discretionary budget. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Manager.
Thank you. Councillor Farrell, all the points that you've raised, that we will respond to them in writing, you know, giving you confirmation of how they're going to be achieved and when they're going to be done.
I just want to make a point, and that is that we've had a few different managers, Bernie Rowe, Elaine, and yourself, Mick, and I'm going back again to Casino and the space there between Cherrymount and Casino in Marino, and there were several conversations, and I would have put down monies in the discretionary fund over the years, but now people don't know where certain money was allocated, whether it was spent, what it was supposed to be spent on. So I think, you know, I'm really pleased with the amount of work the officials have done, but if there was a record somewhere of specifics, it probably would help if you move on and you get promoted to be the Chief Executive Officer of Dublin City Council into the future. At least we'll know that we agree on a particular date what money was agreed for what area. Gormagat Cahirlach.
Managers.
Cahirlach, can I come in? Can I come in there? Yeah, obviously that's obviously a matter of great detail to be discussing at an area committee, but we're happy to take that, you know, and work out what the detail is with you offline, okay, and agree what's happened and what not happened and what's still to happen. Yeah, but let's do it outside of this meeting, and we're happy to do that with the area manager.
Thanks, manager. Okay, item 5A, noted. Noted. Okay. 5B, area manager reports. Questions for the area manager? Is 5B noted? Area manager's reports. Councillor Farrell.
Yeah, no, just thanks. And I want to thank you, Area Manager Derek. You came back with an answer, I think, during the week about the money that was spent, the rugby, you gave a quite a detailed answer about the rugby officer, how much money that Dublin City Council was putting in. It's a joint enterprise with the IRFU, I believe, and how much money Dublin City Council was putting into that. Do you know how much money, or does anyone at the meeting know how much money the IRFU are putting in? What's their contribution?
Councillor Murray.
The right report, environmental initiatives. There are two environmental initiatives listed, the National Spring Clean and 2024 and the Team Dublin Cleanup 2024, pages 92 and 93. Are they different events? Are they the one event? It just strikes me, there's no date given for the National Spring Clean. I mean, I don't think we should be doing two. There's an opportunity for a Dublin-wide event. Two events close to each other, is a dilution, I would have thought, of what we're trying to do. It just struck me that. I just see it there. Thanks. Just get an answer on that.
Manders.
Okay. Thank you, councillors. Councillor Farrell, I had mentioned it to Donica. And I think he'd expected questions. He had said he'd answer any questions. Unfortunately, the IRFU one didn't come when he was there. So he said he was going to look into it, so I'll come back to you with an answer on that. With regard to Spring Clean and Dublin Clean, the Dublin Team Dublin Cleanup is on the 27th of April, so that's our one for Dublin. National Spring Clean is by Antashka, and that's for the whole month of April. So, if groups want to get involved, they can get equipment from Antashka for ours. We give equipment for the Dublin Clean. Okay.
Okay, Councillor Heaney.
Yeah, I just want to thank the public domain team for the work on Brookwood, Rosemount, with the Brookwood, Rosemount, Gracefield Residents Association, and also the work that was done in Casino Park. Thanks very much, Gaherlock.
Thanks, Councillor. Just a comment as well, just to thank the area office. There's a couple of new bins being installed today in Clare Hall and in Newbrook on the Holden Wall Road. And just to thank Tommy, Joanne and Richard and the public domains team and the wider team in the north central area. I forever go on about lack of resourcing of staff, but I think in general that the staff that we do have are fantastic. And they do some great work across the north central area. So, as I said, it's always important to recognise the work that is being done on an area office level. Councillor Cooney.
Yeah, just as well, also to reiterate that, I bring up some issues of there has been quite a bit of dumping. Like, as we clean up, there are more dumping, but that our area domain officer, Tommy Collins, has been very proactive, and he was down there cleaning up, getting some cleaned up there at Fairview Strand. But I'm just, in terms of the generally getting our CCT, and, I know we keep bringing up where we are now, but I just wanted to keep that as an ongoing agenda because, we as soon as we clean up, somebody's dumping. I saw I actually got a photograph. I saw a car, quite an expensive looking car, and somebody got out and dumped something the other day, and I thought to myself, if only there was a CCTV, I will make a report of that particular instance. But like, it's not up for us as citizens to be going around reporting about illegal dumping, but how soon are we going to be able to do something about that, because we're doing such great work ourselves, but it'd be really good to prevent this illegal dumping that's happening and by tipping around the place. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Rowe.
Thanks, Chair. Councillors, even from other LEAs, will be aware of the dumping that goes on in Whitehall Church, Holy Child Church car park, and how many times we have discussed it here. And last Monday week, if I'm correct on the date, all of the shrubbery that's along one side of the car park, which a lot of litter catches in and it's very difficult to remove, I've been there myself with litter groups, was removed. After a few phone calls and after going up over and speaking to the guys working on the diggers, I got the name of the contractor who then got me the name of the person responsible in DCC. I eventually got a response as to what was happening. it's great to see it removed in one sense, because it removes a lot of the area where dumping and other things go on. But on the other hand, the residents behind the wall have just had, to their surprise, their screening and privacy removed. And I will simply make the point that lack of communication, as ever, if it was only a communication on the morning that the works are being carried out, that we could at least reply to residents and not have to go over and speak to workmen and then make phone calls to contractors to then find out who in DCC is responsible for the decision, why it was made, and any kind of response that we can give to residents. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Managers.
Sorry, Councillor, with regard to the car park, as you said, we weren't aware of it. Property Development, I think, sent out replies. I had requested them for a number of councillors. I know you had spoken to them all yourself personally. The work was done, as they said, because of the numerous complaints, mostly from the people of Thatch Road, because of the illegal dumping that was happening down there. Cars were just reversing up to all these bushes, and they were throwing all the rubbish into it. It was quite difficult on numerous occasions that they had paid $5,000 and $10,000. Ourselves in the local area office had been paying $5,000 and $10,000 to clean the car park. The work that Property Development had done around the bottle bins and the bottle banks, and they'd taken all the bushes out there to leave a clear view. So with all that work being done, the complaints continue to come in. So they just decided if we clear it, people can't dump in there. We understand the idea that there's now the screening might be gone, but the roots haven't been taken, so this stuff will grow again. On top of that, there is a housing development that hopefully we'll be hearing again about soon that is to go in there.
Thanks, Chair. And as you well know me, I've talked to you often enough on this topic. I'm not complaining, and I'm completely aware of the dumping and the rubbish and what goes on there. All I'm saying to you is communication. Just even if it was on the morning that it was to start, communication. And I know it came from Planning Development. As you say, it wasn't from your own offices. But even I'm just making the point about the lack of communication and then having to go around in circles trying to find out who authorised it or to get a reply.
Thanks, Councillor.
Voted and accepted, Councillor.
Mick, have you anything to add on your side?
Yeah, just very briefly in response to Councillor Cooney, it's my understanding that Waste Management are actually compiling a list at the moment for locations for the installation of CCTV in consultation with our Environmental Liaison Officer and Public Domain teams. So at least then there'll be a number of locations in the north central area that will be subject to CCTV oversight to combat the illegal dumping. Now, it's at early stages, Councillor, but it is a work in progress. Thanks, Chair.
Good to know there's progress in that.
Okay, Councillor Farrell, is your hand raised? I think he could be gone. Colleagues, can we note item 5B? Noted. Okay, item 5.
I'm there, Damien, but my hand.
You're back in there.
If I have a new phone, so I'm hard. It's
no
hard
problem.
To get.
No problem. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
I've no hand raised. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks
very
for
much.
All my everyone, by the way.
Okay, item 5B is noted. Item 5C, housing supply report for noting. Any questions for the area housing managers? Okay, noted. Councillor, yeah?
I see that Frank Darcy is here, and I just wanted to ask two questions. One is about the financial contribution scheme, and the other one is about the enhanced works programme and his pipeline. So on the financial contribution scheme, I've had two people in my ward in Clontarf asking me about this. So what I want to know is, number one, when and why did we change the scheme from a person selling their own house on the open market and then contributing a certain amount of the proceeds, depending on age, to Dublin City Council in order to become a City Council tenant? That used to be the case. It is now the case that the City Council, in order for a person to qualify for the financial contribution scheme, the City Council purchases the house and retains some of the proceeds. So why did we change from that, number one? And number two, why are we not progressing that scheme and making people aware of that scheme? Because in my experience, there are quite a number of people who would avail of that scheme if it was been advertised. And then the second one on the Enhanced Works Programme. I want to know, can the manager include the Enhanced Works Programme and the dwellings that we are getting from that programme into his housing pipeline that he gives us on a monthly basis? Because we have regeneration schemes on his pipeline, so the numbers of units that are being produced under regeneration schemes are included in our housing pipeline, yet the Enhanced Works Programme, which we got a really good presentation on at one of the housing SPCs in the not-too-distant past from Clive Ahern. It's a hugely beneficial scheme, and it turns around units in a rapid way, much more so than a long, 10, 20 years waiting on regeneration schemes. So can he consider putting the Enhanced Works Programme schemes into his pipeline? Gormagat Cathaoirleach.
Thanks, Councillor. Actually, Councillor Rowe's hand raised there as well.
Thanks, Chair. And very quickly, I just can't find where in the report it is. I know I read it, but I can't find it just at the moment. And I'm pretty sure it's in the, not the underpass site, the Cromcastle Court site. But forgive me if I'm saying the wrong area. It was just that there were two spaces that for use under the cultural heading that we agreed under the development plan, and they're probably too small. They are probably too small. But anybody here who's on the Arts SPC will know how often we speak about the lack of art spaces in Dublin in general and in the North Central area in particular. And I wonder, would whoever has charge of that development liaise a little bit with the arts officer, even just to see would they be in any way suitable for any type of arts or cultural uses? Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor, we have the Assistant City Manager for Housing with us today, so he can answer.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to Councillor Heaney. In relation to your specific question about the pipeline, certainly I'm going to look at that. I just want to talk more general about the Enhanced Works Programme first. I suppose the reason why we introduced the Enhanced Works Programme is, as you've said, there was delays in relation to regeneration. And you'll know that I came from the housing maintenance side of the house and would have seen that there was a need to improve the situation that, the conditions that certain people were living in. The programme is certainly in its infancy. We've done good work in Lissadel Masonettes. We've done good work in David House, and that's continued. We'll look at Canon Mooney, and we'll look at other areas as well. As I said, the project is very much in its infancy, and we're trying to gauge resources as well, and we'll be going to the department in relation to that. We're learning a lot as we go, and it would be my intention to expand this programme very quickly into a lot of other areas. In relation to the financial contribution, the waiting list is based on a number of older persons' accommodation developments coming on stream, and it's expected that as supply increases in this regard, there will be corresponding increase in the allocation of properties to applicants in the financial contribution list. So, as more units become available to us, I think, we spoke previously with Aisling as well, that there wasn't be as much of a waiting list there as there was previously. Changes to the scheme were made in 2018, and progress on financial contribution applicants are based on the number of older people's accommodations coming on stream. We'd hope that that will increase and that we will be able to really ramp that up in the near future. In relation to Councillor Rowe and the Cromcastle Underpass and community facilities, I certainly will look at that And I know that our people are looking at that as well. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Manager. Colleagues, any other questions? No, that's noted. And thanks, Manager. Just a few comments. I know I raised with you at the full council meeting in February, just around Millwood Court and St. Anne's, but just to raise again around Balmain and Clongriffin, I spoke about earlier around obviously just strategic joint up thinking. I think is very, very important now from a housing point of view. You know that we have that joint up thinking with housing. There's no social infrastructure really within Clongriffin and Balmain, and that's something that we really, really need to be focusing in on. From a housing point of view, from a community aspect, and then the joint up thinking that Dunica was talking about earlier around, you know, how we're linking in with amongst the different departments, you know, and I think that's very, very important as well.
It's interesting. You should raise that this morning, Chair. I was actually at a meeting earlier this morning with the Chief Executive and other directors of housing. We raised that very issue in relation to community facilities and the need for same going forward. So definitely, we're looking at that.
Thanks. Okay, item 5C noted. Noted. Okay, we've dealt with item 6A earlier on, and 6B is for noting as well. I just see, managers, a note there in the report in relation to the new sports officer for Donegal is commenced start date on the 19th of March, which is welcome. I think I'm blue in the face looking at development officer in Donegal for the last 2.5 years since COVID. So it's good to see. We might circulate the information to the councillors as well when that person commences employment. The other red lines I can see there as well, the FEI officer, there's no longer an FEI officer in the Donegal LEA now. So as I said, one comes in the door, one goes out the door. We might just write as well to the FEI in relation to that too. Manager?
Yeah, the FEI officer is for the whole North Central. So, yeah, I have been following up with the FEI. I'll try and follow up again and see when we can get it. We've had two in the last while. They obviously keep getting promoted, but we'll follow up on it.
Thanks, Manager. Is that noted? Noted. Okay. We're doing well with time, colleagues. Item 6B is noted. Motions, to be the one deferred motion, obviously Councillor Jane Horgan-Jones' motion wasn't even responded to the last meeting. Councillor Horgan-Jones, are you online? I didn't see her there online.
No, Chair, she's not.
Okay. Colleagues, can we agree item 7A?
Is that the motion?
The motion, Chair. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Which motion, Councillor Jane?
The first one. It was deferred from the February meeting.
I think it's saying that there isn't a. I think the response, if we read the response, Chair,
okay,
it says.
I'm happy to accept the response. Okay, we move on. Yeah. Yeah, we agree to your response. Okay. Damien O'Farrell has accepted his one. Item 7C in the name of Councillor Deirdre Heaney.
Yeah, Cathaoirleac, I put down this motion as a result of a very strong odour in the Clontarf area, Clontarf, Cillester area, and a couple of constituents then contacted me asking me, you know, could we confirm the source of the very unpleasant smell recently at North Bullwall coming from the direction of the port and the wastewater treatment plant, and explain the causes and the risks to human health. I don't have the response to the motion in front of me. I couldn't find it in my email. But it seems to me, is there somebody here to respond to me about that? Okay, so the response seems to be unclear. While it does kind of address the three items that I raise in my motion, it leaves a little bit of a lack of clarity around what we're doing to address the odour that happened. So if the manager could elaborate on that, please, I'd appreciate
Thanks,
it. Because I found myself kind of still questioning when I read the response unfortunately, I can't find it on my email now. So,
no problem.
Thank you very much, Gerlach.
Emma Finlay is online for motion 7C. Emma?
Information here as well, that I had also followed up on this and made a formal complaint to the EPA, who replied to me, and I have sent that on to Fiona and the area manager. The EPA investigated it, found it to be an issue with Ishka Aaron, and they have instructed them to control their odour. They've put a report in under their licensing system. Ask them to inform people at least in advance to do their works in a certain. So they've instructed them. So basically, the EPA took it seriously, followed through. I know our pollution here hadn't been able to source at Dublin Port of Beyond. So just to say the EPA have taken this seriously, and the updates will be found on the link. Maybe that could be circulated to everybody. I did send it on to Fiona. And there's a link then to the EPA site where they can check the license and see the conditions in relation to the license and how the EPA have instructed Ishka Era to do their works in the future and to make sure that this odour is not reoccurring and as much
thanks,
as possible.
Thanks, Councillor. I see Emma, you're online there.
Hi, yeah, good afternoon, everybody. So I'm here from the Protection of Water Bodies office because there was a query in relation to bather health. So I was part of the response. So I won't speak on behalf of the air and noise unit, but I do believe, and just to agree with Donna Cooney, that the nuisance odour was suspected to be from the Ishka Aaron treatment plant, which is regulated by the EPA, and hence why I advised, you know, to contact them directly. And again, as Councillor Cooney mentioned, there is a new LEAP system online where publicly available information on licensing and enforcement information is available on those EPA licensed sites.
Councillor.
Yeah, thanks, Cahir. Look, I see now that the reply, and thank you very much for that update, I see now that Irish Water have confirmed that works are ongoing on the upgrade of the secondary treatment tanks, which involves cleaning some of the tanks, and that may be the reason for the odour. Thank you very much for that response.
Is that item agreed? Agreed, okay. Item 7D, in the name of Councillor Naois Murray.
Yeah, I'm happy with the response from the manager. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Is that agreed? Agreed. Colleagues, that is the agenda for today. I give you an extra 20 minutes back into your lives. Thank you. See you all in
very
April.
Future have them in the morning because you seem to get through them with we're bright and more alert.